Thank you, Rosemary. I was found. Yeah, I apologize. We're having a little tech issue. We're trying to figure it out, and I've reached the limits of my tech ability, so we'll see. But I want to encourage you guys. We are just thankful to open up God's Word, so take your Bibles if you would, and we're going to go to Psalm chapter 3. And before we jump in, let's just take a minute to pray. And I just want to thank God for our praise team just leading us to the throne of grace. And I'm so glad that Rosemary's back. And her voice is good, right? She did good, right? Pretty good. So we want to just thank God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you have not left us here on earth without your word and, Lord, without your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we dig in and think about, Lord, some of the challenging things, Lord, that we need help with. And I ask, Father, that your word would just speak, Lord, in a way that's loud, in a way, Lord, that would just move our hearts, Lord, to real change and to make a real difference. And, Lord, I pray that you would take away the distractions, Lord, that we wrestle with, Lord, even in church. We ask that you would just bless our hearts now, and we want to give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned, just take your Bibles. We're going to slide through. This is the last message in this series about like rain and snow from the heavens, the incredible power of the Bible to deepen our walk with God. And we're going to slide down to our thought from today. And what we want to focus on today is this, and we're not good at this. And by the way, the speaker, he's not good at this either. But we want to talk about pressing the pause button so that we might see the wondrous things in God's word. And I encourage you, we're going to dig into a number of passages as we do that. So here's the thought. Do you, right, think about this. Do you struggle to see, hear, and implement the wondrous things that God says in his word? Like, if we're honest, right? Yep, we do. And I want to just say, the scriptures, as we dig in and look at them, they have some help for us. And we're going to look at that this afternoon as we dive in. So here's the thought. Wondrous things are evident when we pause. Write that word down. That's the key here today, right? And you see, there's a Hebrew word there that's in the Psalms called Selah. Some people say Selah, but I actually checked it out online, and it was a Hebrew pronunciation, Selah, Selah, right? To see, hear, and contemplate God's word. All right, so we're going to jump in and think about that. Where have we been? Just a couple quick reflections about that. So first thing we want you guys to get a hold of is the concept we've been looking at in Psalm 119. With Psalm 119, right, all 176 verses are about the word of God, and there's some really good content there that really should move us in a good direction to change. So let's take a look at that. The concept is the next slide we want to kind of dive into. Remember the whole concept was what? And you know, we should have this verse kind of memorized if we didn't have it as a kid. Your word is what? A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And boy, do I need that. So we want to slide right on down to some of the content that was helpful. Remember we looked at the psalm. And remember the psalm was broken up into the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters, or 20, and by the way, they're all consonants. And we learned in the first one, the word of God is the source of blessing. And it really is in so many ways. We learned in the second one, which is the Hebrew letter Beth, that the word of God cleanses us and from all of our ways. And our ways tend to be not so good many times, right? And then in the Gimel part, the word of God shows us what? Wondrous things. And we studied that, we thought about that, and here's the challenge. Sometimes we're still not seeing, hearing, and applying those wondrous things. And then we kind of dug into the next letter, which was Daleth, and the word of God, it revives our hearts as we talk with him. Like literally, sometimes we get so down in the dumps that we can't get up, we can't do anything, and the word of God takes us out of that place of despair and gives us hope. And then we went to the next letter, hey, and the idea of that was the word of God helps us to develop a heart of obedience And part of that is we literally converse with God about the struggles that we have. And my hope, and I'll throw this aside, look up for a second. My hope as we study this passage and as I study this passage, that the Word of God becomes less of a book that we read, but a relationship that we develop as God speaks to us through His eternal words. And it's a conversation. We read, we think about it, we pray about it, we realize where we fall short. It's a conversation. And then last week we talked about how the Word of God teaches us that we can seek His mercies and His grace daily in all of the seasons of life. And man, could we use the mercies of God. What do you think? I'm glad He doesn't hold me all the way to the standard of His righteousness, and the only righteousness I have is the one I got from Jesus, right? So we're going to skip down. We'll go right down to the next slide there, Chris. Go right past that one. And I want to take us to the realities. We studied a lot from Psalm 119. But I'll throw this out. Isn't there some challenges to seeing, hearing, and applying these wondrous things that we read? And I encourage you guys, check out that street sign. There's a cross street right there. There's a street called Relax, and there's a street called Stress. And I feel like I spend more time on the top street than the bottom one. How about you? Right? The things of life just kind of work us over, beat us up. You know, and our struggles, and I'm going to throw this out. Write this down. The struggles that you and I have are evident to everybody else even when they're not evident to us. Right? And we're going to look at that in a second. And here's some of the struggles that we have. Busyness. Anybody struggle with that? I feel like the poster child. Right? Busyness, right? Anybody struggle with being busy? Yeah, right? Does anybody have like so much time? Like, I remember as a kid. Remember as a kid you're growing up, and like maybe like you're 7 years old and you're like, I'm bored. I'm just praying for one of those days, one of those hours, right? But busyness is something we wrestle with. And stress. By the way, and stress is usually brought on by the busyness that we just can't seem to get it all done. Anybody, can I get an amen on that? I can't get it all done. I can't fix all the things I got to do. I can't deal with all the stuff that's in my life. And it stresses us out. Anybody anxious? Anybody saying, well, I hope Pastor Gary gets done by 12:30 because I got a lot to do today. Right? Don't you say amen, Dennis Rothwell. Right? But stress, right? And I'll throw this out. How about rest? Anybody got enough rest? I actually went to bed. I was so tired last night. We're working on, you know, cleaning out my dad's house. And you can imagine all of our house. By the way, Jane says, I'm starting now. You know, my dad passed away, and there's 65 years of stuff there. And it's an overwhelming task. So I hope Jane, in the clean out of our house, doesn't throw me out with the stuff. But it's a huge task. And the way we spent literally all day yesterday, you know, with cleaning and doing all these things to sell the house, right, which is a blessing. We praise God for that. But rest seems elusive, doesn't it? And I know a lot of you, by the way, I know a lot of our ladies that are involved in caregiving, rest is really elusive. Sandy, isn't it kind of elusive? Yeah, you get no rest, right? Because you're doing one job, and then you're doing another job, and it just seems like the rest is something we can't find. But rest, by the way, is really helpful when it comes to seeing and hearing the things that we need to hear from God's Word. And here's the next thing, mindfulness. And by the way, how many people have a smartphone? On my smartphone, you know, one of the updates was there's a mindfulness thing in there, right? And it says, you know, be mindful. You know, you're supposed to stop for a second and, like, relax. I don't think mine does it anymore. I'm not sure what happened, but it doesn't come up anymore. But it probably needs to, right? Your phone does? Amen, yeah. Mindfulness. But here's the idea of mindfulness is the ability to focus. Do you struggle with that? We kind of live these lives. We're like a shotgun. We're trying to do all these things really wide, and it's really hard to focus on any one thing that's going to really help us. So mindfulness. And then you can think about some others. Who has another struggle when it comes to taking those things and seeing those things in God's Word and hearing and applying? Who has another struggle? What's another struggle? Those are the big ones, I think. Was there anything else? Okay. Say it.
Patience.
Yeah, how about that? You know, here's a patience item. By the way, we don't have to get everything done today. By the way, you probably can't, but we try. Mm-hmm. Right? So patience is a big one. Yeah, sure. That's one for sure. So I want to throw this out. There's some supplications, and we read about that, especially when you think about Philippians chapter 4. You know, the Lord tells us, and I said this last week, we are supposed to take everything to the Lord, right? You know, it says, with our supplications, which means requests, with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will do what? Will guard our hearts, right? Peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, right? So that's one of our supplications, but I want to take this down. And I want to think through, here's some of the struggles. And I want you guys to think about this. Remember I said this, right? Your struggles and my struggles are what? Right? What's the word? Evident. They may not be evident to you or me, but the rest of the world sees them. They see them. They see our struggles. And I want to throw out to you, just by way of illustration, one of the things that we like at our house is we have like a bird feeder in our backyard. And we love to see some of the varieties of birds that come in. And my wife, she really loves, we have two kinds of woodpeckers that go to our backyard. You know, those birds that you hear that tap, 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 tap on the tree. One of them is really giant, has a great big red head. He would fit in with the praise team today. You know, he has a great big head. And one of them is really small. It's called a downy woodpecker. It's really little, has a little red head. Would also fit in. But like sometimes in the morning, like we're getting ready, I'm getting ready to leave for work, and Jane's doing her stuff, or Levi's coming over, and she's like, do you see the woodpecker? She's like, look out the window. And I'm like, it's in the tree. And you're looking, and you just can't see it. But she said, it's right there. I know, but I still can't see it. Right? But and that's kind of how our life is sometimes. Like the things that God says are right there. But we still can't really see it. We can't really hear it. And if we can't do those things, we can't definitely not apply it. So I want to show you guys about this, some of our struggles. And I want you guys to think about this in some biblical stories. You know, one of the great people in the Old Testament, his name was Moses. He had struggles just like you. I want you to check this out. And I want you to understand. By the way, here's the context. So Moses and the children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. And God is taking care of them, right, with manna and by the way, in this case, water. But they are just grumbling and fearful and afraid, and their faith is really not much. And check out what happens. It says, and Moses and Aaron, they gathered the assembly together. And by the way, think about this. There are thousands of Jews who are wandering in the wilderness, and Moses and Aaron gather them all together. And I'll throw this out. When things are going bad, when you gather that kind of crowd, can you imagine what they're saying? They're moaning and groaning and murmuring and blaming and yelling and hollering and fighting, right? So check out what happens. So he gathered them together before the rock, and God led him to a rock, and God said to him, he said, Moses, I'm going to meet your needs, but I want you to do what? To the rock. Say that again. I want you to speak to the rock. Get this, get our story right. I want you to what? Speak to the rock, right? Check out what happens. Moses enters the scene. He gathers them all together. He probably faces all that junk that's going on in the crowd. And listen to his first word. It kind of shows us what's going on in his heart. Hear now, you rebels. Now imagine if I start the Sunday morning sermon like that. All you sinners, all you rebels, all you know. Is that a good start? I might try it next Sunday. No, actually, next Sunday is Black History. I'm going to work on it for 2 weeks away. I'm going to work on that, right? Right? But think about this, right? So he starts out, he says, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And I want you guys to kind of get a sense here for a second. What's going on with Moses? He is stressed, right? He was on that street called stress for a long time, somewhere in that 40-year journey, right? He is on that street, and he is stressed, and he is frustrated, and he's a little bit angry. He's a little bit mad. Actually, he's a lot angry and a lot mad. And look what happens, right? So then Moses lifted up his hand, and remember, everybody remind me, what's Moses supposed to do? Speak to the rock, and what's he do? He takes a stick, boom, boom, on the rock, right? Twice. And by the way, notice what happens. He struck the rock twice with his rod, and guess what? And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. I want to take you back for a second. What did we study last week about God? Think back. I know it was a busy, crazy week. That's what I'm talking about, right? We saw wondrous things last week, and I can't remember what they were. Here's what we saw last week, that in the midst of all of our problems, God is a God of grace and mercy. Now, if I was you, right? Or let me back up. If I was Moses, you know what I would have done? I'd have shut the spigot off on the rock if I was God, right? But God didn't do that. Moses disobeyed God. The people disobeyed God. The people were faithless. The people were moaning and groaning. They were doing all those things, right? And Moses revealed what was going on in his heart. He could not see, hear, or apply the wondrous truths that God gave him, that God in his mercy would meet his need. You understand? Like it's revealed, right? Like I asked this question about him. What happened here? Moses is just like me and just like you. He gets so caught up in the moment and all the things that lead up to the moment that he can't hear, he can't see, and he can't apply the wondrous things that God tells him. Now I want to ask a question. Anybody here have that problem? Yeah. I know your friends do. Do you have that problem? Right? Yeah, we do, right? Think about that. Like, and we know the truth. Like, you know, I've studied God's word for years, right? Do I ever get mad and strike the rock? Yes, sirree. Yeah. And it just comes out. What happened here, and I want you again, remember God's response. We learned this last week. Guess what? God is the God of grace and mercy. And remember the prayer we read in the Psalm last week? He said, God, let your mercy come down on who? On me. And in his conversation, he read God's word, and he prayed the prayer. He said, God, let your mercy and your grace come down on me. And by the way, praise God, that's how God handled Moses, even though he really messed up. But you see the idea? You see the point? When we don't hear, when we don't see, and when we don't apply those wondrous truths, there's consequences. Our life isn't what we want it to be. Our obedience isn't what we want it to be. Our walk with God isn't this walk of love and peace and joy. And notice, by the way, the consequence. Sometimes the consequences are hard. Look what happened. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He says, because you did not believe me to hallow me or to make my name holy in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. God kept his promise to the people, but he said, Moses, because of your disobedience, and by the way, that doesn't sound like a lot that he did wrong, does it? He just beat the rock a couple times. He didn't beat the children of Israel. He probably wanted to, but he didn't, right? But God said, because of that, you're not going to go in the land. And by the way, look what happens. It says, this was the water of Meribah because the children of Israel contended with the Lord and he was hallowed or made holy. They saw his righteousness. They saw his mercy and his grace among them. But Moses suffered that consequence that he would not be privileged to really enjoy God's ultimate blessing of being in the land. And I want to throw that out for a second with us. If we miss the wondrous things, God's blessings, God's love, God's mercy, there's consequences for us too. We live this life where we're always angry, frustrated, bitter, screaming, hollering, beating rocks, doing all that stuff because we miss what God has to say. And I want to encourage us this morning, we don't want to miss what God has to say. So we want to try to overcome this, and that's what today the psalm is going to help us figure this out. So I'm going to go on to the next slide. Take us there, Chris, please. I'm going to look at one more slide. I think there, Chris, I think it's the same slide. There we go. One more slide. Now, here's another person. Oh, go back. Go back. You're good. Here's another person, and we're gonna flash forward to the New Testament. And here's another person, by the way, who even walked and talked with Jesus that missed the wondrous things. Let's check it out. And by the way, her name is Martha. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha. By the way, well, anybody know what the village was? Bethany. Yeah, right? And he went to a certain village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And think about this for a second. If Jesus knocked on the door, are we going to let him in? You betcha, right? And it says, and she had a sister called Mary. And by the way, Mary and Martha were so dear to Jesus. They loved Jesus. They met with him numerous times. They talked with him. By the way, anybody know Mary and Martha's brother? Lazarus is their brother. They all love Jesus. By the way, Lazarus is the one who was raised from the dead, right? And this is before that time. It says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Get that in your mind for a second. Jesus knocks at the door. By the way, all you ladies, Jesus knocks at the door. What's the first thought that crosses your mind? Oh, my God, the house is a mess. You know, you are throwing things where they don't belong, but they're out of sight. You're doing everything possible. You're cleaning. You're trying to get the best meal together for Jesus, right? You're trying to do it all, right? Welcome. That's Martha. There's a couple of Marthas out there, right? Anybody a Martha? Anybody a male Martha? We were, okay, yeah, amen, right? All right, my hand's up too, male Martha. Right? We got to do stuff. We got to get stuff done. Jesus is here, right? But look what happened. Check out what it says. This is the struggle. But Martha, read it with me. Martha was what? Distracted with much serving. Martha's worried. Jesus is in the house and it don't look right. So Martha is distracted with much serving. And by the way, and look what she did. She approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, i.e., I'm being wronged here. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Think about that for a second. She's not going, Jesus is in my house, and he probably has something really good to say that's really going to help me and change my life. But my house is a mess. Mary, doggone it, what are you doing? Right? That's kind of what's going on here, right? And I want to throw this out. Do you see the distraction or the struggle? We are so caught up, by the way, me included, in all the stuff we got to do that we can't see, we can't hear, and we definitely can't apply the wondrous things out of God's word. And by the way, look what Jesus said to her. And again, remember how God deals with us? Mercy and grace, right? Jesus didn't go, Martha, what are you doing? He didn't do that, right? Look what he said. And it says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I.e., Jesus didn't say, Mary, go help your sister. What's wrong with you? Mary was listening in, and she was hearing those wondrous things from God, and it was life-changing. Martha was just hung up in all the stuff, right? All the stuff. So, by the way, remember this, get this in your mind. When we don't hear those wondrous truths, and we don't see them, and we don't apply them, there's consequences, right? And by the way, do you think Martha said that nicely to Jesus? I bet her attitude was pretty bad, probably, right? Jesus, can you believe Mary? You know? And this was going on, right? But I throw this out. Everybody look up. Isn't that us? She was stressed. She was on the street called Stress. Right? She was on that street. And by the way, that's the street that most of us live on, pastor included. And you see it play out in our actions, in our words, in our attitudes, in the way we do stuff, in the busyness and the franticness and the anxiety and the anger and the frustration. It comes out. And everybody, just get this in your mind. Even if you don't see it, everybody else does. Everybody else does. So God has the answer for us, and that's what we want to kind of work down to. So we'll go down to the next slide, Christopher, if you would, please. By the way, I thank God for Chris Nylander. Andrea's up at Snow Camp, and Chris was like happy to plug right on in, and Nita up there as well. We just praise God for them. So check it out, right? And I want to pick this from last week. Our supplication. This is what we need to be praying. God, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. Remember, God's mercies are his loyal love, faithfulness, goodness, graciousness, and godly actions to us in just the way that we need them now. Right? God gives us that grace. And I want to encourage us, we need to understand we can take that word. We need to see it, hear it, and apply it so that we can live a different way. And I want to go down to the next slide. So here's the thought. How do I go forward? Is renewal possible, or am I going to be stuck finishing out my days on earth like a frantic, frustrated human being? By the way, does anybody want to be a frantic, frustrated human being the rest of your life? No, of course not, right? We don't want that, right? So here's a couple thoughts, and we want to kind of learn this from the text. So we're going to slide down. Take us down, Christopher. And I want to share with you guys, we're going to look at three different passages. Here's the first one. There's a word, right? And I mentioned that word up front, and it has the idea of pause, and it has a whole lot of other ideas with it. And the word is Selah. Say it with me, Selah, right? And it's pressing the pause button to hear and see God, right? And I want you guys to understand, here's the word. The word is Selah. And I want you to get this in your mind real quick. This word, Selah, is used 74 times in the Old Testament, 70 times in the book of Psalms. Now, I don't know about you. If I told somebody something 70 times plus, there's got to be some significance to that thing, right? And there is. And I want you guys to understand that we'll go down to the bottom first. It says, the root in Hebrew for this word has this idea of meaning to hang. And you go, woo, that sounds kind of scary. But here's the idea. It's like when you hang something from a scale. Like you ever weigh a fish, there's a hook on a scale, and it kind of, the weight pulls the scale down, and it measures the weight of the fish, right? That's the idea, right? So that's the idea of hanging or weighing or valuing. And I want to share from you one of the uses outside of the book of Psalms. And the back of is in the book of Job, and it says this. It says, by the way, it says this word. It says it, meaning wisdom. Wisdom cannot be purchased for gold, right? Amen. Nor can silver be weighed for its price. There's that word. And it's the root word. It's actually here. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir in precious onyx or sapphire, right? So you get that idea. This word has the idea. The root of Selah has the idea of weighing, measuring, valuing, as this thing kind of hangs on the scale, right? So you kind of get that sense. And we're going to slide down, Chris, if you would, with me for a second. get this idea in your mind about this word Selah. And again, I think God is trying to tell us something if he said it 74 times, right? 70 times in the Psalm. So here's the use. Selah is used 74 times in the Bible, 70 times in Psalms. And just get this in your mind. How many times we say hallelujah? Right? We sing it, we say it, hallelujah. Hallelujah is only used 23 times, and it's only used in the Psalms. Selah is used how many times? 70 times in the Psalms, right? That's a lot of times, a lot more times. The word amen is only used 28 times in the Old Testament. And again, we say those words, we're conversing in those words all the time. By the way, get a quick understanding, right? Hallelujah means what? Praise Yahweh. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, right? That's used a bunch of times, 23 times. Amen has the idea of, I am joining in agreement with your prayer, and I hope that God would want God to do what you are asking. Amen is that idea, right? But as you think about this word, Selah, it's used so many more times. And I'll share with you guys just a couple of interesting facts about that. It's kind of interesting to think about. This word is used in the Psalms 70-plus times. It's used by David, who wrote a ton of Psalms. It's used by Asaph, who wrote a whole bunch more. It's used by the sons of Korah. These are all musicians, and they used it too. It's used by Haman. It's used by Ethan. And it's used by all those people so many times, right, with this idea. And I want to say something about this. The meaning in the Psalms, and by the way, this is not like documented. Scholars are thinking this is true, but it's not true. But we'll look at the passage and we'll get to kind of see it in subjective form. But the meaning in the psalm seems to indicate a musical pause. I say something, I sing it, and then I stop. Okay? And here's the idea. It's a place where we should pause and lift up the scripture in our minds for meditation, reflection, and application. Remember what this word means? See, that means what? Hanging, weighing, valuing. The idea is that when we read something or we sing something out of the Psalms, we ought to stop for a second and value and weigh, what does this mean in my life and how can I use it? That's the idea. And again, he uses it over and over in the Psalms to make us stop for a second and think, ponder, meditate for a second. And by the way, is that something that we normally do? A lot of times we read our devotions in the morning, we're like, okay. We do this, by the way, with Daily Bread. We play it. We actually play the audio portion on Daily Bread, you know, and sometimes you're brushing your teeth and sometimes you're doing all this stuff. You know, you're playing it, but it's hard to stop and pause when you have one foot out the door and one foot in sometimes, right? You know, this idea of pause is what it ought to be. And it's a place where we should pause and lift up the scripture in our minds. And I want to throw this out. This kind of reflection is transformational in the Psalms. I want you to write this sentence down. Such reflection is transformational in the Psalms because it moves us from fear, doubt, and guilt, and hopelessness to courage, confidence, forgiveness, and hope. Like, we need that transformative thing to happen to us. Not just read the word and not think about it, but read the word and just think about, what is God saying? I want to see it, I want to hear it, and I want to put it into action. And now, okay, take us down there, Chris, if you would. I want to illustrate this in two passages. And get this in your mind, right? Pausing, write this down. Pausing is transformational. And by the way, that's a big word. That sounds like one of these, like, you know, SAT words, right? What do I mean by that? Pausing will cause your life to change. Transformation means change, right? So check it out. By the way, you see the Selahs in there? In this passage in Psalm chapter 3, Greg read, it's in there three times. And look how he starts out. Let's read it together. He says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, and read it out loud with me, what? There is no help in God. And then there's that word, Selah. Right? By the way, has anybody ever felt like Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? I am hopeless. There's nothing I can do. God's not going to help me. Nobody's going to help me. Right? I give up. I'm done. Right? He says it. But after pondering those words, and by the way, this is written by David. After pondering those words, and by the way, this idea of weighing and valuing is, I'm pondering these words, but I'm pondering that in the context of what I know that God has said. And let me ask this question. Has God ever said you're done? Has God ever said you're hopeless? No, right? God never said that, right? And look what he says. He says, let's read the next part. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Everybody look up. Guess what? When you cry to God, he hears you. If you're one of God's children, you're one who's put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved you. He's going to take you all the way to the end. He has a place for you in heaven, and he's not going to leave you here floundering around and struggling on earth without help. And that's what he says. He says, and by the way, look again, Selah. There's that pondering, that weighing of what the word of God says. And David, by the way, do you see a little transformation going on there? It looks like he's going from hopeless to hopeful. Right? That's the idea. That's the idea of this word, right? The idea is that as we read the scriptures, we need to see la, because we need to hear and listen and see what God says. Because it'll change our heart. By the way, look at the next thing. By the way, when you're in verse 1 and 2, can you sleep well? I was going to put this in. Remember the book of Acts? Paul and Barnabas are in the stocks. They're beaten. And it says they're singing hymns. And all of a sudden, they're praying to God. And all of a sudden, what does God do? There's an earthquake. All the jail cell doors open up. All the prisoners run out. They stay there, Paul and Barnabas. The jailer comes in and says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your house, right? And by the way, that's what we're talking about here. So when we feel that, by the way, Paul often slept when he's being in jail. He slept when the worst things were going on. And here's why. Look what he says. He says, I lay down and slept. I awoke. And read it with me. What happened? The Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. And look what he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Do you see the transformation here? As he reads the words of Scripture, he goes from hopeless to hopeful. Fearful to courageous, right? That's the idea. And as we read Scripture, that's what ought to be happening in us. We go to God's word and we're hurting. We read God's word and his truths are reminded to us that he's faithful. He gives us hope and he gives us his help, right? Do you see that? Pausing is transformation. And you see it in the psalm. We're going to go down one more screen if you would for me, Chris. Here's another one, the wisdom of Selah, right? And this, by the way, is in Psalm 32. Just by background, Psalm 32 is like Psalm 55, is when David confesses his sin. And there's a spiritual principle, by the way, everybody look up. Here's a spiritual principle. When you sin, what's your normal reaction to God? When you sin and you know God knows you did, by the way, he always knows. Do we run to God? We run away from God, right? When we sin, we're like, I don't want God to know. Surprise, he already knows, but I don't want God to know what I'm doing, what I'm up to, right? We run away from God, and check this out. Look what David says. He says, blessed is he who his transgression is forgiven. Out there, it's out. When you've done something wrong, and you are just feeling so bad about it, you know you did it, and that person forgives you, isn't it just like, a release, like that burden has been taken off, right? And David says, that's how sin is. He says, Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute or charge sin to his account. Blessed is that man who God doesn't impute iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. And I want you guys to check this out. Read with me verse 3. This is the principle he wants you to seal out on, right? He says, when I kept silent about my sin, when I didn't run to God and confess my sin, when I just kept, you know, trying to pretend it wasn't true anymore, when I did that, what does he say? My bones what? Grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night in your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality or my life, right, was what? Turned into the drought of summer, Selah. So he contrasts these things. He says, man, blessed is the man who's forgiven. Boy, cursed is the man who doesn't run to God with his sin and experience his mercy and his grace. That's a terrible place. He says, my bones were growing old. It was so bad. Right? And then he ponders that. Look at verse 5. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. That's that Hebrew parallelism, right? I told you, God, my sin. I haven't tried to hide it from you. And look what happens. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And everybody read that last line with me. And you forgave, what? The iniquity of my sin. By the way, would you guys all do me a favor? Would you all selah on that for a second? What's that mean? I'm going to ponder that. I'm going to weigh that. I'm going to value that. I'm going to think about that. So when I run to God in my sin, what does God do? God forgives me. When I run away from God, my bones grow old. Right? You get the idea? So this idea of this selah, this pause, makes me contemplate what is real, what God's trying to say. What's this wonder in the Word of God? By the way, I throw out to you guys, when you're growing up and you sinned and your parents knew, did you run right home to them? You know, in Willingboro, we used to stay outside until the street lights came on. When we did stuff that was wrong, we didn't want them to come on for a while. You understand? But what he's saying is when we sin, run to God. And God forgives you. You get the idea. We're seeing some amazing, wondrous things about God. That he's a God of grace, mercy, forgiveness, power, strength, and he's going to help you no matter where you're at. Does that make sense? And by the way, look at the bottom. He says, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near to you. Look what he says about God. Look at verse 7. Read it with me. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And what's that last word? Right? That's what God wants you to ponder. So when we read God's word, right? When we want to see, hear, and apply those wondrous things, we got to press the pause button for a second and think about what God is saying. You know, the Word of God will not get into our head by osmosis. You know what that means? Osmosis is when things cross the cell wall. Like if I lay on the Bible doesn't get into my head. If I read it real quick, the Bible doesn't get into my head. But when I selah as I read the scripture, when I pause and I value and I weigh and I think about how does it work and who God is and what he said and how faithful he is, all of a sudden my hopelessness becomes hope. My fear becomes courage. Right? My guilt becomes forgiveness and joy. And that's what God's trying to teach us. So I want to throw this out to us. As we read the Word of God going forward, remember, we don't want to spend the rest of our days on earth struggling like we do now, do we? We're going to struggle, but you know what? God wants us to struggle well with the tools and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word that he's given us, right? So we can change. We're going to get on to the last slide and we're done. Check it out. Running forward, where do we go from here? Some of these are repeat, right? God's word is a blessing, right? Amen? Prioritize it. God's word will cleanse us. Bathe in it. Right? God's word shows us wonders. Kind of same idea. Meditate on it. He said that, by the way, in Psalm 119. God's word will revive us. Talk to him about it. You need that help, right? God's word must be obeyed. Anybody struggle with obeying God's word? Tell him and ask him for help. Depend on him. God's word reveals his mercies. Ask him. He's the God of mercy. God's word reveals wonders. Pause and reflect on it. Selah. Selah God's word. Selah God's word. And then we can use one other word. All God's people said, hey, what?
Amen.
Amen, right? Amen. We're going to close with a word of prayer. If anybody has a need or a struggle, and by the way, here's a need and a struggle that we all have had. We've all had the struggle of we are lost in our sins, and when we run to Jesus Christ, like it said, what's God do? He forgives us our sin, and he does what? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and he gives us his spirit, and he makes us a son and daughter of God. Right? And if we have any other issues, God wants to meet us where they're at. If anybody has a struggle or a need today, and you want prayer, you want help, please come forward, meet us at the door, let us know how we can help. And we'll go to God together. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, dear God, that, Lord, we intellectually value your word. We want it, Lord, to impact us. We want to see you. We want to hear it. We want to apply it. But I pray, dear God, that you would work in us, Lord, to just pause, even for a few minutes as we open up your scriptures, to really see those wondrous things. I just pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts, Lord. It's easy for us now to say, I'm going to do it, but I pray, dear God, that you give us the power to do it, you know, starting today or even tomorrow morning as we embark on your word again. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, Lord, day by day, and that your word would be vivid and live and lively and life-changing. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just help us to see that. Father, I just pray that you would work in each one of us, Lord. We are on that street called stress. We worry, we're troubled, we're all those things, Lord, that we don't have to always be. Lord, if we would just meet you and apply your truths in our own life. If we would just yield ourselves, Lord, to your spirit and to your word. And I just pray, Father, today that you would help us, Lord, in a real way, in a concrete way, set aside that quiet place, that quiet time where we can see, hear, and apply what you tell us. Lord, I just ask these things.